Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, love my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We'll get to the Rockets here, but maybe a capper to the Duke-UConn game. Graylin Mullins hits the shot to send UConn into the Final Four. The closest Duke defender was a player by the name of Isaiah Evans, who stood motionless, hands at his side. His Instagram account name? Get a hand up. It's unfortunate. And it wasn't changed after to remind himself never to keep
your next time.
Yeah. That was what his handle was going into the game. And will he change his profile picture to a picture of Mullins rising up above him? Probably not.
I wouldn't.
It's not something you should highlight. One of your worst moments. And you could see, like, I think you could see Shire motioning like to, because they were running the Shire's reaction as this is going on. And I think you see him kind of motion to get his hands up. Isaiah Evans didn't take note.
Yeah. It's one of those where, like, gotta contest the shot.
Practice
man.
What you preach, buddy. At least something.
I know.
I know you're afraid of fouling.
Yeah,
I get it.
I know he's out there pretty far, but, yeah. Like, there's 2 seconds left.
He comes from the school of Paul George. It's a bad shot.
If he shoots that with, you know, 25 seconds left on the shot clock.
It is a bad shot.
In the first half, that's a bad shot.
Yeah, but in terms of desperation, got to get the cleanest look up.
Yeah, no, pretty good.
Pretty good, turns out. Pretty good. So Duke goes down.
He got the steal, too, Mullins.
He got the steal, passed steal. It up to Caravan. Caravan's like, not me.
Draws two, I made my one time out.
To get them really back in, he made a shot. Neither one of them shot the ball well. Yeah. Caravan made one, and then Mullins made his to send UConn on. And Roger Ayers got a headbutt for his trouble.
That's the reaction that I watched, the Dan Hurley reaction. It looked like an assistant coach was the one that pulled his jacket below his shoulder to give him that sensual look when he put his head against Roger.
You know, there's a show on Hulu featuring the love story between JFK Jr. and Caroline Kennedy Strauss? Is that her name?
I don't
remember. Whatever. She had that look several times. In reality and on a TV show, got the shoulder showing off a little shoulder. That's what Hurley was on. All right, we'll move on to the Rockets. They took care of the Grizzlies and the Pelicans in the way they should. Games where you shouldn't be challenged. G.G. Jackson, I think, got dunked on again by a Rocket, so he's got a streak going there after getting dunked on by Wembanyama. But they took care of business. And Tari Eason, who didn't shoot the ball well from three, though he did score in double digits against Memphis, did shoot the ball well from three against New Orleans. And it's been a topic really for the last couple of months how bad he's been. And it's become a conversation within the team. They've discussed Tari and his impact. And that's something that needs to change. If they want to reach the heights, at least in their eyes, the heights that they can get, that they believe they can reach, Tari has to be better. So I don't know if I pulled it up on Audition, Sean, but there are a couple of Tari and Alpi bites, on Audition, or at least save. So we'll get to them here once Sean finds them. But the two guys, I think it's under downloads over there. But Tari and Alpi did their post-game together. like I think Alperin talked with Vanessa Richardson on the floor after the game, but then they went into the locker room. So let's play the first one. Tari and Alpi together discussing, well, Tari's importance.
Tari being amazing for us, you know. Happy to have him back because he's really important for us. You know, we've been talking to him. He's really one of the key guys for us and the team, and he's now understanding that too, you know. And he just, you know, goes over there, does what he's doing, killing it, you know, crushing and everything. So that's really important for us.
Tari, how important was it for you to be able to bring that energy back to the game that your teammates needed?
Very important. We had a team meeting, and you know, we kind of got everything out and kind of understood what expectations are. And you know, guys just told me, you know, we need you.
And kind of attack him.
Yeah, they said we need you, and that's all it was. I appreciate everybody. I appreciate Alpi. Through this stretch, I mean, he's sent me stuff. He's just spoke confidence into me. A lot of these guys have really, you know, tried to help me keep my head up. So I appreciate Alpi for sure and the rest of these guys.
They go on to talk about what else they discussed. It was more of the same. Like, we need Tari to be better. And they expressed that they had open conversations about it. Sure, when you shoot as poorly as he has, particularly from three, you become a bit of a talking point, a lightning rod. The energy thing, as we've discussed and begrudgingly given credit to John Granato on this, was Tari low energy or was he just not making shots? Like, if he's making shots, now there have been some instances where his defense hasn't been as at the level that they like, and we know about, or we saw the inbounds where he really wanted to inbound the basketball, and then when he got a chance, he threw the ball away against the Heat. They were able to overcome that, win that game, thanks to the Amen Thompson tip-in. So there have been moments where Tari Eason hasn't been at his best, but was his energy high against the Pelicans because he simply made some shots? If he goes back to missing shots in their next game, is his energy low again? It's all about you're trying to create something by you're creating he's now more energized.
Yeah.
I don't think that would have been the topic of conversation if he went 1 for 6 from three. Even if Alpi wanted to do an interview with Tari, the thing hanging over the entire interview would have been, or post game would have been, yeah, sure, the energy was high, but didn't he just go 1 of 5 from three again? Make shots, people feel better about you. You feel better about yourself.
Yeah, like that is what it is at the end of the day. It's just make shot. If he played like a perfect defensive game against the Pelicans, but also went 1 for 6 from three, like no one's like, we got our Tari Eason back. We got him back. Like talking about him like he was missing, because you know, for the most part, he was, or at least that production that you pencil in from Tari Eason, you just didn't get it for 3 weeks because he couldn't make a shot. I think that, yeah, it's nice that, you know, you play two bad teams. You get to put your feet under you. You know, literally the saying of see a couple go through the basket. Like, Tari Eason got to do that. And you can tell with how Şengün was bigging him up in the post game that, A, it's something that he had been, you know, working on throughout the slump, and B, it's something that they want to put as, like, this is the day that the slump ended.
We had the meeting.
Yeah.
And he now comes out and shoots better.
You're back.
We're back. Yeah. Now, when did this meeting take place? We don't know the day. Did it happen a week ago?
Friday afternoon, hopefully.
Yeah. What about
maximum of
Sunday morning? They had a team meeting, and look, immediately, yeah, Tari can shoot the ball again. So, whatever they need to do to tell themselves that they fixed their problems, fine. We will see when there's stiffer competition than the Pelicans or the Grizzlies. You know, someone who will actually put some ball pressure or double team Kevin Durant in a tight game. If Tari's an outlet and open because they put two on the ball, will he knock down a shot or pass it up? So it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
Glad that they're together. Glad that Alperin's taken over, or at least taking Tari under his wing, if you want to call it that, sending him notes, being a leader, all the things we can point to make ourselves feel better. Next time you face a real team, knock down some shots. Yeah. And then do it over a stretch of games, not just the one. And then we can actually start to hope that whatever went on for 3 weeks to a month is past them. It could simply be that Tari Eason was never a 46% three-point shooter, and the basketball gods even and equalized things. And now he's right where he should be, where he's about, what, 36% or so. It could be that. It could be regression to the mean.
Yeah. And, I mean, we always kind of knew that was happening because he was, like you said, over, like, 45%, like prime Klay Thompson numbers where it's like, all right, this isn't that. But I would prefer, you know, a couple 1-for-4s to get down there, not 2-for-30 in a month.
It's the Jalen Green thing where Jalen Green, his numbers would always average out to be what they are consistently over the course of his career here. But it would be because the extremes would come together to get it there as opposed to a consistent, flat thing
just
where...
Pencil in 36% all the year. I don't need
I don't need the fluctuations.
If you just go, 2-for-6 every game and then occasionally 3-for-6,
good. That'd be great. That means I can count on you for knocking down a couple threes a game and then maybe you get hot on a night and help us win a ball game. But his threes weren't needed, but they were welcome against a Pelicans team who we know... Now, it's been some time that the Rockets blew a giant lead and lost. This was never in question. They controlled that game throughout. Got whatever they wanted out of it, and as you said, did what they had to do.
Knicks tomorrow.
Yeah. Some competition. And we could actually – do we point to the Knicks' blown lead as the start of – it wasn't the official start, but it felt like national TV, you got a giant lead, and you blow that game, and it felt like nothing has been good since.
Second game after the All-Star break.
As far as playing good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, the All-Star break play.
Yeah, I think
coincides
so.
With everything. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. The All-Star break controversy, blowing the lead to the Knicks, and the Rockets have kind of been middling since. We'll see, once they see those uniforms again, if things change. It'll be here on NBC, so you'll get NBC on the game as well. So national attention on the Rockets. Thankfully, not ESPN. So
can we just tell them it's on Peacock and not NBC, just to...
Yeah, if you don't know, the Rockets are in the middle of a losing streak on national TV. It was more so, when I said not ESPN, we don't get to hear them called Laundromat again by Kendrick Perkins. I don't know if there's anyone on NBC who has a nickname for him. Maybe we'll find out. But Knicks, Rockets, good matchup to see if what we saw over the last two games is real or just, hey, you play bad teams, you took care of them. That's all you can take from it. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. We have not mentioned, well, we rarely ever mention golf, but this would be the only reason we would talk about it on this show. I don't want to do the documentary thing where we go, the fall of Tiger Woods, but Tiger's at it again, and his girlfriend has spoken out as well. So we'll get to Willie P too. Anyone else want to follow him, you can. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Willie P here. He wants to talk about the weekend that was. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, what's up, Del? Sean, how y'all doing, man?
We're good. How are you?
Not bad. You know, it's been a long time since I called in, but, you know, I listen to the podcast every day. I think it's funny that Keith and them started that whole, I'm a top three caller, I'm top two, but not two. Anyways, I enjoyed that. But no, so as far as this weekend sports goes, all right, let's start with the U.S. Men's National Team. So I don't know if you saw the game like I did, but here's what I saw. I saw that in a couple of months, a lot of people going to be really upset with the way this this World Cup goes, man. This, I mean, let's be real. I mean, Jeremy Doku, an old Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, they didn't even have a full-on recognized striker. They had skinny boy Charles de Ketelaere, and they still put 5 goals on them. Like, the U.S. is in a bad place. It's too late. it's too close to the tournament to try to change anything. This roster's not good enough. Pochettino's not good enough. And, I mean, from the rumors, he's already got, you know, one leg out the door in his mind going on heading back to Tottenham. So, you know, it's just he's mediocre. The squad's mediocre. Christian Pulisic, none of them. They're not going to save us, and it's going to be rough. What y'all need to do is go ahead and get behind France. A lot of brothers on that squad. And even their second team, you know, smashed Colombia. So look out for that. As far as the Rockets go, you know, it was cool beating the New Orleans Pelicans and stuff. And let me preface this by saying I'm not a hater and I respect what those young brothers do, but Will and Brad O, they got to stop with the whole, oh, you know, these are Kevin Durant splits at the age of 37. Look, I know what the splits are, damn it. I can see it. And it's awesome and it's cool and all, but it's the vibe. I know this sounds crazy. The vibes aren't there, man. I don't enjoy watching this team. Like one of your callers said last week, you know, Alfie gets a dunk and he wants to stun, act all tough. Like, bro, make the free throw. Like, you know, yeah, he did the behind the back alley to Amen Thompson or whatever. But like, let's be real, it's just not there, and it sucks. I didn't enjoy watching them. Hell, I was at the game last Saturday when you know, Amen got the tip in. And I actually ended up leaving early, and I didn't feel bad that I missed it because it's just like, whatever, you know. So, but yeah, that's all I had. Keep doing what you're doing. You guys are awesome as always. Love the show. Sade Mace, what it do, baby? Peace, fellas.
Yeah, the U.S. Belgium game. The U.S. scored the first goal. Weston McKennie, I believe, scored the first goal. Did not mean much, particularly in the second half. There were some changes made, but not to the point where you should be down 5-1. Belgium's okay. I mean, they have some talent. More than the U.S. has, but that can be said for a lot of the top European clubs, or excuse me, teams, squads, whatever you want to call them. The group isn't the strongest, but so the ceiling, despite Pochettino talking about a semifinal appearance, mimicking what South Korea did, a team you didn't expect that much from, but because they're on their home soil, they make a semifinal. That feels very far away. After a friendly. Now, I think they play Portugal in their next game. So if they beat up on Portugal, then maybe people's opinions change. But that was tough because there had been some positivity going forward from their last couple of outings. And then you watch Belgium come in here and take them apart. You heard him mention France. He said, brothers, I don't know whether that makes you want to watch them play or not. But yes, if you look at that French squad, there are a lot of players of African descent on that roster. Just how France's immigration and stuff goes. It's just what it is. I'm not going to get into the political realm of an immigration of France, but if you look at the roster, it doesn't represent the American mind of what a Frenchman looks like, at least not the ones who you think, ho-ho, and they smoke cigarettes. If you've never seen France play football in the last 20 years, by the way, it's not new. It's been a thing for a while. If you haven't watched France play football or soccer in the last 25 years or so, and you're looking at attach yourself to a team for the World Cup to avoid the embarrassment of only caring about the U.S. and them being out in the second round, France could be one of those teams. And he said their second team beat up on Colombia. Yes, France is supremely talented, one of the favorites to win the World Cup. If you go back to 2022 when they lost to Argentina, I mean, it's am I the one to point it out? Sure, I'll be the one to point it out. Once they decided to put all their athletes on the field, you see how that game changed? Like, Argentina was in control of that game, and then France was like, wait a minute, we got all these guys here just waiting to play. And Deschamps, I think, is the manager who was, on the French 98 team, won the World Cup. He's like, hey, Tchouaméni, you want to get in the game? All these guys who had been waiting, he just threw them all in, and in Argentina, those little small-leg dudes couldn't compete anymore. All of them the size of Messi, it felt like. Couldn't compete.
And bring back the ha-ha's.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, Argentina wound up winning thanks to penalties, but if you watch all the guys who were brought in to compliment Mbappe, it was like a pure athleticism talent advantage that Argentina couldn't stand up to, but they did have Messi, and he pulled it out for them. Now, this is a song, if you want to get into France in the World Cup team, it's a song that's been put out. It's not official, but all it really does is repeat the names of the French players, and yet it still hits. So here it is.
Dembele, Shaqiri, Odis, Amaka. Dembele, Dembele,
Dembele, Dembele, pause that, Sean. Dembele. Dembele is the Barcelona player. Shaqi is the Man City player. So all you're going to really hear is the names of their players repeated. But in a way, that makes you think, we got something here. I don't know if France, the country, will adopt this as their official song, but maybe they should. Continue. That's no longer the names, but you heard Saliba, that's the Arsenal defender. It's just a song repeating their names, and you have a couple of verses thrown in there as well. As Sean can see the video, so he can see the actual players mentioned.
Some highlights.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's a lot of dudes who are really good.
Yeah.
And France is one of the top teams in the world for a reason, and they got a real shot. They took apart Brazil, and then they took apart Colombia with their second team. So yeah, if you're looking to root for a team, whether it's brother specific or not, if you want to go with Willie P standard, France is one of those teams you can root for and have a real shot of watching them throughout that tournament because they're one of the favorites to win the title.
We should do. I mean, this is like for 2 months from now.
Yeah,
we should do a like. Yeah, we're all rooting for the U.S.
But
who are we rooting for to actually lift this thing
who
up?
Who do we? Yeah, yeah. At the end of the tournament, who are the teams that are going to be around and who
can
we root for?
That we're rooting
yeah,
for.
I mean, France is an easy choice. You want to go dark horse someplace, if you want to root for the I can't even use this on England because if you just look around the world in the world history, everyone's a colonialist.
Mm.
But if you want to look at the colonizers, England's going to be pretty good. In fact. You know, we were a colony.
Is that how they group teams?
No, but
the colonizer region.
You mean all of Europe? All of Western Europe?
I guess it is UEFA.
Yeah. So no, I don't.
They do just qualify from that.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that because you just have to take all of Western Europe, Spain, England, France, all of them. So either way, those are some of the teams that, while they have a checkered past historically outside of soccer. Those are teams that have a real shot to go do something in this World Cup. While the teams here, Canada, the U.S., Mexico, it's a bunch. The host not looked at as real threats to do anything.
Well, you know, one of them can make a run.
I mean, get some
bracket luck.
I think, yeah, this is what we're talking about, bracket luck. Not winning on your own
no.
talent.
Oh, God, no.
You're not going to win because you're great. You're going to win because things happen in your favor.
Yeah, you're like... None of those teams are top eight in the country or in the world.
No.
But, like, they can make a quarterfinal, you know?
Yeah, and as I said, Pochettino, who Willie P is saying has one foot out the door, mentioned semifinal. Maybe hope to get out of the group.
Yeah, all right, big man.
Yeah. You can't talk about semifinal then have your team put up the stinker they did over the weekend.
Yeah, let's.
That's a tough look. But, hey, a couple of months away, biggest tournament in the world right here. We're going to have games in Houston. Of course, the U.S. won't be playing any games here, but we'll watch and pray and hope.
Yeah, and I think
they can get out of the
USMNT. Like, they've done a good job, and this is going to be a backhanded compliment. They've done a good job of this World Cup. I don't feel like they have, like, outsized expectations pressed on them. Like, from the outside world, I don't think people are, like, buying the hype as much for the squad as
they've seen it seen it for years now.
Like other, you know, 22 especially, like I felt like there's a little bit more like, oh, these guys.
That was the golden generation of U.S. soccer. And then we saw them go out meekly to the Netherlands.
In the last 4 years.
And then the last 4 years haven't been great. They brought back Berhalter. Then they had the fire Berhalter. So it tempered the expectations quite a bit. And then you've got the ex-players taking shots at them so much so that what did Timothy Weah say? About them?
For me, I just feel like they're really equal.
That's where we are as far as the discourse.
I think that hurt the brand of this batch of players at them. I don't know.
Losing to Panama, losing to Canada, all those.
Yeah, and then whining so much about like, well, they're evil. They're being mean to us.
Having a bad Copa America when it was in this country.
Yeah.
It all came together for people to be down on the scene. That's why Pochettino's here.
I feel like they can actually overachieve, but overachieve in the minds of the American people, where I don't think they're being sold like this team actually is, you know, golden generation, up and coming. It's like, hey, you know, get out of the group. We'll see. It's like kind of where everyone's at.
Yeah, with the expanded World Cup, winning a knockout round game should be, I don't say the floor, but
expected
at this point, because of it, the expanded version of the World Cup, it should be expected. If you win a knockout round game and that's your ceiling, okay, that's disappointing because it's in your country.
I want to see who they play, but yeah, for the most part, I agree with
you. Yeah, so thank you for the call, Willie P. U.S. soccer didn't have a great, at least nationally, their national team didn't have a great weekend. NWSL, the women of the Denver Summit hosted the largest crowd in NWSL history. They had the game, their inaugural home game, where the Broncos play, and over 62,000 people showed up for that. So that was a good moment for U.S. soccer. Not so much the national team against Belgium. They got a chance to try to fix it against another notable power, Portugal, as part of this friendly interval, because the European leagues are on a break to allow for the international break. The MLS is still playing games, I believe. But you get Portugal in town, Bruno Fernandes and others. We'll see if he plays. He played against Mexico, against the U.S. here, hopefully for a bounce back. All right, we'll go to break with that. A couple more segments to go. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Not that anyone looks good in a mugshot unless you wind up with mugshoties. That happens from time to time. So there are individuals who wind up looking great. But the Tiger Woods mugshot that's out there, it's rough. It's rough for Eldrick. It's rough out there. If you didn't see it, he was involved. He did it himself. He was involved in an accident, a DUI arrest. Now, he didn't pop for alcohol, so we're assuming it was drugs. He's apologetic. He wants to fix his errors. But since 2009, which is when the first time this happened, the divorce and all that stuff, I don't know that anyone who was kind of universally loved. I mean, sure, people inside golf may have had issues if they knew Tiger's intricacies of Tiger's life. Maybe they would have had issues. But outside of that, champion, clean cut image, all those things. I think Tiger Woods was one of the untouchable athletes until he made himself very, very, while being famous, infamous as well. Once anyone can reference Perkins, at least if you're a sports person, and know that you might be talking about a waitress that Tiger was with, that's tough.
I've never seen a Perkins with my own two eyes.
But same I know, here. Same here.
I know Perkins.
Waitress. Like if you're Tiger Woods, you're married to the woman that Ernie Els set you up with or something?
Yeah, his Elin nanny, Nordigan.
Elin. I remember her name. I was trying to figure out the context of how they met. Was she like Ernie Els' nanny?
Something. And Big Easy was involved.
And he introduced her to him, and they get married, and everyone's like, look at Tiger, family man, all those things. And then we get Perkins waitresses, adult film stars telling their stories, and a club through a windshield hasn't really been a turnaround since, right? I mean, we had that moment when he was with Lindsey Vonn. They were walking the Masters course together at one point with his kid when Charlie Woods was younger. But other than that, it's been like, outside of his back and activating his glutes, we've got the one Masters win as something to point to other than what is Tiger up to? Why is he getting in trouble again? It's that one moment in time where everyone was excited because he was the dude. I mean, he was supposed to be, well, he still is, one of the greatest to ever do it, but it hasn't been a graceful descent into old, well, maybe descent to older age is improper, but it hasn't been a graceful last
aging process.
15 years or so for Tiger Woods. He's not gone the route of others who are just one of those guys who's beloved in the game, and hey, it's good to see him out here again.
Yeah, like, if it was just the injuries, that'd be one thing of, like, you know, kind of a tragic figure of, like, yeah, his body, man, just kind of, he just pushed it too hard, now his back hurts all the time. He can barely keep up. That's why he has to walk away. He's still good enough, but he just can't actually. No, it's like, since 2009, I've probably gotten three different, actually, 2009, it was just on TV, but gotten three different alerts of serious Tiger Woods car wreck.
Yeah.
That's not great. And one Masters in that time. One major win, three car wrecks.
The ratio isn't great.
No.
Major.
Like WTF car wrecks.
Major wins to car wrecks, and then something behind it that says this isn't just simply an accident brought on by a guy swerving here. It is influenced by alcohol or maybe drugs in this case. We'll see what the final outcome is. But Tiger Woods, that happened over the weekend, and you see the story, and I wasn't surprised. Like, oh, okay, Tiger's at it again. That's the other problem. It's not a thing where you see it and go, first, I wanted to know, because how it was reported initially, you didn't know his status as far as injuries and whether he was going to make it, and then we find out he's fine. And it's like, okay, Tiger's doing his thing again. The mugshot's coming, and there it is again. It's the same, that face from Tiger. I've seen it several times now. Never great. And now his girlfriend, who I forgot was a Trump, Vanessa Trump, she wants him to get his bleep together. It's probably the right sentiment.
Yeah.
Everyone does, I think. Everyone would like Tiger to get his bleep together.
I don't think you get a DUI and flip your car, and people are like, doing great. Keep it up. Keep up the good work.
What's the response?
You got something to clean up, I'm sure. I mean, once we saw that he blew a 0.0 and still got detained for a DUI, I was like, all right, I think I know what's up. I mean, it's just, like you said, it's just been part of the story for the last, 17 years, however long it's been?
Been a long time.
Yeah.
Of stuff popping up where you hear a Tiger Woods story. And it's rarely, and it's never like, oh, look at that. It's like, oh, look at that. That's kind of how it always is.
I mean, Charlie Woods is really the only like positive Tiger story.
Yeah, if you're running the Tiger Woods Foundation, or maybe you're running the PR firm, more Charlie, less Tiger.
Although
I wouldn't send him to Florida State.
Though. Yeah, I was gonna say him and Mike Norvell. Well, picture together.
I don't know that he's going to take a picture. Maybe Mike will look to do that.
Mike Norvell's going to ask Charlie Woods to take a picture with him.
Yeah, Charlie's like, Mike, please.
I'm good.
Much like the recruits you bring in, I don't want to be in a picture with you. Cut it out. Stop it. I'm like that 5-star you've got no shot at. I'm not taking pictures with you. Just like that guy.
Yeah, that guy's definitely going to Miami. I don't know.
Or
what?
Or someplace else. Doesn't got to be Miami. There are plenty of other options, but it definitely ain't going to be here. But Florida State, good golf program. So that's where. And it's in Florida where Charlie Woods knows. He was born in Orlando, so he knows that. Yeah. He knows Florida, so he's going to go play at Florida State.
We like to get Mike Norvell jokes off on this show. I'm sure Charlie Woods made a more educated decision. I couldn't tell you the status of any golf school in America other than Texas. I know they're pretty good. That's because I went there. Other than that, is FSU better than Florida? Couldn't tell you. Better than Georgia? No clue.
I can't tell you their status. I just know they're a good golf program because it is what they lean into. Because of how bad the other things are going, particularly football.
Yeah.
That's how I know that they're a pretty good golf program.
Yeah,
because they will celebrate very hard their non-revenue-generating sports titles. Like the women's soccer team is very good. I know that because Florida State fans talk about that. I know golf is pretty good because Florida State fans would rather talk about that than the stuff that most of us care about, like the fact that you're one of the worst teams in the ACC over the last couple seasons.
Yeah. Basketball's not good. Men's basketball isn't.
Yeah, they hired one of their own. Luke Lux was a player under Leonard Hamilton. Now he's their coach. They had a nice back half of the ACC schedule, but not enough to make the tournament. And also, they don't have any money to fire Mike Norvell. That's why he's still there. Can't fire him and hire someone else when he's got a giant buyout. That 13-0 start to that season, still doing damage. Whole program couldn't believe they got left out and allowed to, they've allowed that to affect them for 2 years now.
Mark Norvell's like, what? Talk about Tiger. What just happened?
That's on you.
Yeah, I know.
It's not me. I wasn't talking about Mike Norvell, but now I am. Look, I'm kind of still not a giant fan of the head coach in my program, but the results are the results. What am I going to do?
I think you have at least a from that game, like an 8-month grace period.
Yeah, that run.
Yeah, until they line it up one more time in the fall. I think he's earned a reprieve.
Since the loss to SMU, it's been all gas. Who am I to say a word?
Yeah, but you know,
just wait.
Burn all your timeouts in the third quarter against Notre Dame.
Look, that game's later in the year, so
it
won't. It won't be the same type of scenario where you're not sure with the new quarterback and all those things. That if that's going to happen, it'll be in the very Mario Cristobal way later in the year when you have all this stuff buttoned up, and then it happens. But I can't say a word.
Yeah, no. Hey.
What am I going to do? Complain about a guy who made the title game? I'm sure it's being done someplace, but not here. Can't do it, not this
again,
time.
Again, until they line it up.
There's not a lot on the schedule, which before Notre Dame, which doesn't absolve him from a giant mistake
because
he's more used to screwing up against bad teams or average teams than he is against good teams. So there's a lot of landmines and bumps in the road up until the Notre Dame game. But when you look at the schedule, it should be smooth sailing. But that ain't the way Chris Ball likes it. So
he likes the choppy waters.
Yeah, for whatever reason It's not even the choppy waters. He's the one with the wave machine creating.
He likes turning on those.
He likes turning on the wave machine and seeing how it turns out. This started with Tiger and wound up in college football because why wouldn't it? All right, one more segment to go before we're done. You can get in. Join us, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I was watching, or am still watching, this video of a big hockey fight between the New York police and the New York Fire Department. If you break your hand punching a firefighter in a hockey fight, do you get paid leave? What happens if you get in a fight in a charity hockey game and you wind up missing time from work? Do they pay you for that, or they go, look, this is a completely avoidable scenario at the end of a game where you don't have to punch the firefighter from truck 45? What are you doing?
I kind of think you built it into the
part
budget
of it, right?
Yeah.
If you get in a fight, in fact, we would welcome you to get in a fight.
I think I know nothing about the NYPD versus NYFD annual hockey charity match. I think if you go to that, you show up, you're probably related to one of the first responders.
I'm looking at this arena's packed too.
You want there to be a fight. Let's be honest.
You do. Well, the crowd is loving it. Crowds love a fight.
Everyone is expecting a fight at this. You want the cops and the firefighters to drop the gloves.
To your point, I typed in on YouTube, FDNY, NYPD hockey fight. There are multiple fights from different years.
So got to.
I actually had to scroll to find the one from this year. So, they do it quite a bit. I just don't know what happens if you get hurt. I guess you just excuse it as pay it to pay it to the game and go, you know what?
Boys will be boys.
Yeah. You know what? If you got a black eye, you're talking to a suspect and they ask you what it's about.
Punch a firefighter.
Yeah, I got in a fight with a firefighter. Playing hockey, but I still got in that fight. I've watched a lot of TV, and I didn't know that this rivalry was like a real thing.
Yeah, they need to do this. Oh, I guess it's NY. I was going to say, because they have Chicago Fire and Chicago PD. They should do
Chicago
a cross,
Med, yeah.
Crossover episode where they do the
I wouldn't game. Rule it out.
Might have already happened.
Yeah, honestly. They might have already, like, there's enough TV shows about firefighters slash police officers that they had to have had some charity sporting event when a fight happened, whether it be in a comedy or drama. Yeah. So I don't think it'd be original for Chicago Med or for Chicago PD to do it. Plus, the Chicago PD guys are like detectives. They're not cops. Not cops. So are detectives getting in a fight? Probably not.
Yeah, and SVU and all that. Law and Order's too serious to get into this shenanigans.
You'd have to, like, in white, well, it's a long time ago, in white PD Blue. But, yeah, most of all the shows are about actual detectives, not, like, beat cops. Yeah. So you're not going to get these type of scenarios where
Blue Bloods. Maybe they get into this in Blue
Tom
Bloods.
Tom Selleck.
Out here punching a firefighter.
Yeah, well, I haven't watched Blue Bloods consistently ever, but I've seen an episode, like, the young, I don't know their names, I'm going to say the young blood, was in a uniform, but Donnie Wahlberg, who now has a spinoff of Blue Bloods, was a detective, and Tom Selleck was some higher up. He only wore his uniform for like special events. So
Donnie Wahlberg, I don't care how high you promote him in the fictional cop
Blue Bloods
landscape.
Blue Bloods universe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he still fights a guy at the celebrity or at the charity, hockey game. I still think Donnie Wahlberg does. I don't know if his character does.
Yeah, I think he gets goaded into going out there after saying, I'm done, and someone messes with him, like a cop from his past messes with him and gets him out there.
Oh, you're washed up, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, that. Sounding like that. And he gets him out there. He, you know, tears his ACL or something, but also gets a couple punches in.
Yeah.
So that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Boston Blue is what it's called. If you're looking for the Blue Blood spinoff.
There we go.
With Donnie Wahlberg, it's Boston Blue. And Rotten Tomatoes, 82%. Well reviewed.
Wow. Maybe it's too good to get into this kind of shit.
He's a detective. He's not going to be involved in a.
It's either this or Brooklyn Nine-Nine, all right?
Honestly, you're not wrong. I'm sure there's a show out there active that's about beat cops and not just detectives. But at this point,
First 48? It's hard to find. There's detectives in First 48.
That's a real.
Yeah. Live PD?
Yeah. These are all reality shows. I'm looking for a show where you can get a cop versus firefighter fight with comedy involved.
That's scripted.
Yes, that's what I'm not actually hoping for police departments and fire departments to get in fights.
New York has that covered.
They have that covered.
Yeah.
All right, we're done for the day. Rich Eisen's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. Since we're done, what does that mean, Sean?
I'll see you on the golf course tomorrow.
Yeah, you will. All right.
Since that moment, they had won another bad offensive game, but they've been lighting it up.
Yeah.
So maybe more entertaining moments for Blum and Callis this year. We're done. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.